Annyeonghaseyo, good morning. A very warm welcome to you all. If you're here for the first time, especially warm welcome, and we hope there's a chance to meet you afterwards. The service is being live streamed, so we welcome those joining us on the internet. It's good to have you with us, wherever you are, whether it's at home or somewhere else. We give a very special welcome this morning to Peter Pay and his wife Jo. Peter is the current lay moderator of the United Reformed Church General Assembly. And Peter and his brother grew up in the church many years ago now, and his parents were married here and were very prominent members of the church for a period after the war. This is his first visit to Kingston for many, many years. And no doubt, Peter, you've noticed many changes both here in this building, but also in the surrounding area of Kingston. Due to poor health, Peter will just be preaching the sermon, but it's great to have you here, Peter, and we very much look forward to what you have to say to us. And we hope it brings back many happy memories of your time here as a boy. Thanks to Sally, who despite heavy cold is going to struggle on and lead the service. We very much appreciate that, Sally, so our prayers are with you as you do that. And also to Jean, who's going to do the prayers, and to Ken, who will lead the communion. After the service, tea and coffee in the Mayo Hall, and you're all welcome to join us. Worship today continues with the 11:30 service, and then again at 5 o'clock. Please refer to the notices that get sent out in the post. If you used to receive these, but now seem not to be receiving them, please check your junk mail, because sometimes it's going there. If you don't get these and would like to, then please let us know and we'll add you to our list. There are a few copies at the back for anyone who's visiting. Just a couple of the notices to highlight for you. The next 24 hours of prayer will be held from 6 a.m. on Friday the 26th of November through to 6 a.m. on Saturday the 27th. And if you'd like to take one of the hours or part of that time, please speak to Leslie. A reminder that the church contact list is out now. Christine is at the back with copies if you haven't already picked up yours. So please do see Christine after the service. And finally, don't forget next Saturday at 3 p.m. here in the sanctuary, Hyunju and Suho's wedding, and you're all invited to that. News of people to pray for. A reminder to pray for So Young, Connie, Nirvana, Liam, and their wider family, all of whom have had people in their family die recently. We continue to think of those who are still feeling anxious about coming out and are in their homes, and as a consequence can often be lonely. And also remember those known to us who are unwell or finding life difficult at this moment. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Normally, I'm usually only at the front of the church for the introduction to the theme. And as we all know, everybody gets a wave. So I'm here a lot earlier in the service. So I'm just going to wave to everybody in the building. Hello. And I'm going to wave to everybody at home. Hello, everybody at home. You're very welcome as well. Before we start, can I just check everybody can hear me? You can. Okay. My voice is a bit... Let's pray. Let us open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes to see the generous gifts of God and respond with praise and thanksgiving. Generous God, we come individually and together as your people to be resourced, inspired, and blessed. We come thankful for the self-giving love of Jesus. Inspired by his example, may we be generous and giving, with no reward other than knowing we are doing your will. We ask this in his name. Amen. We're going to start by singing Awake My Soul. Let's pray. Eternal God, you call us to this time and place to still our minds and gather our thoughts, to see the immensity of your giving to us. You are the giver of life in all its fullness, the giver of gifts beyond compare, the giver of more than we can imagine or comprehend. We come before you now. And as we reflect on how great, mighty, and holy is our God, we spend some time now in confession, knowing that we can never hope to live up to all that he has called us to be and do, but also knowing that he is full of grace and mercy and longs to forgive us and to be in right relationship with each one of us. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you in sorrow for our selfishness, in regret for our greed, in despair over our blindness and deafness to the needs of those around us. With penitent hearts, we seek your forgiveness and your blessing to make us more generous, more giving, more able to see, and more willing to listen. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one in three and three in one, we adore you, for you are light in our darkness. You are the calm in our turmoil. You are the wealth in our poverty, the meaning in our pointlessness, the hope in our despondency, the meaning in our being. For all of this and so much more, we worship you. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Time for something that I'm a little more used to, the introduction to the theme. And today I'm going to give you permission for one morning only to brag and to boast. Not something that we do as Christians, hopefully, but today is your chance. I'm going to ask for a volunteer or two. You've got a minute, and you've got to try and explain to us why you think you are the best. Now, you don't have to pick yourself if you're feeling very modest. You can take on the persona of someone else. You can think about a politician or a sports star or whatever, or an occupation. So you might like to say, I think I'm the best florist. Janine, we know you are, but you know. And I'm going to ask for volunteers to come forward. You've got a minute to tell everybody why you think you're the best. Okay. Oh, Glyn's up on her feet already. Goodness me. Right, come on then. We'll go with you in a minute, Bethany. Your 1 minute starts now.
The proudest moment of my life was winning an Olympic gold medal for prevarication. What was I going to say next? It's a lovely day out there, isn't it? Yeah. I was also the first user of Oh, I forgot what it was now. Let me. Lastminute.com. So that was a bit ironic, really. I should have prepared this earlier, but, you know, I got distracted by other things, so I'm sorry. Have we got any?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Bethany, come and tell us what you're the best at and why you're the best. Your time starts now.
I mean, we all know I'm awesome. It's just a fact, okay? I'm the best entertainer. I'm the best at everything. You name a puzzle, I've got the answer to it. That's all. I mean, there's no need for anybody else, especially not him up there, to even come into question. But, yeah, it's just a fact. You can't ignore this fact, can you? Thank you, everyone.
Well done, Rose. Come and tell us why you're the best.
Yeah, I'm simply the best, like Tina Turner, because I love dancing and running around. I'm the best cleaner, and I just think I'm simply the best.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? No, they're all too humble. They're too humble. Just a bit of fun. The Bible story this morning features people who, in their hearts, even if they didn't actually say it, did probably think they were the best, or certainly better than some of the people around them. And Jesus saw, Jesus noticed, he watched, he was a great people watcher. He noticed, he watched, he saw what was in people's hearts as well as how they were behaving on the outside. And he wanted to make a point that the people that said they were the best were not necessarily the best. Some very surprising people, in his eyes, were the best. And we're going to be thinking about that this morning. Now, we're going to have two readings. One is from 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. And I'm going to ask Martin to come and help me with this.
Just move this so that people at home can see. I don't know why I've got two microphones. Right. Two microphones. Right. We're going to have the reading, and Martin is going to just scribe and write down some words that come to mind as we go through the reading. And then what I would like us to do together, when we read the New Testament reading, just note down what are the differences and the similarities. And I think you'll find quite a few between the two readings. Okay, so this is something a little bit different to what we would normally do. But hey, I'm the youth worker, so this is how we roll. Martin, thank you. So, can I have the reading up on the screen, please? Yeah, there we go. Right, so. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." So the words we've got at the moment are instruction, provision, hunger, and hope. So we'll continue. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." So, Martin, we've got journey, request, and despair. and choices. Okay. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. So now we've got, in a different colour, because things are changing, we've got prophecy, promise, trust, God provides, abundance, and fulfillment. Someone's just said compassion as well, Martin. Compassion. Yeah. So here we've got despair, request, but hope and trust. And then as the story goes on, we have abundance, fulfillment, God providing, and compassion. So we're going to have our second reading now, and as Rose reads it to us, have a think through what the differences and particularly what the similarities are between those two readings, and then we'll hear from Peter.
Good morning, everyone. Our second reading is taken from Mark chapter 12. From verse 38 to 44. A large crowd was listening to Jesus gladly. As he taught them, he said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law, who like to walk around their long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace. Who chooses to reserve seats in the synagogues and the best place at feast? They take advantage of widows and rob them of their homes, and then make a show of saying long prayers. Their punishment will be all the worst." As the widow's offerings, as Jesus sat near the temple treasury, he watched the people as they dropped in their money. Many rich men dropped in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came along and dropped in two little copper coins worth about a penny. He called his disciples together and said to them, "I tell you that this poor widow put more in the offering box than all the others. For the other put in what they had to spare of their riches, but she, poor as she is, put in all she had. She gave all she had to live on." And Sabbath second reading.
Okay, so the words that I've got here, instruction, hunger, despair, choices, a lady that came with her very little money, trust, God provides, compassion. So I'm going to ask Peter if he'll come and speak to us now. Should I just move this?
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I, I look around the building and I can remember bits of the building, but I miss the gallery. Mainly, I think, certainly my age group tended to hide up there during the evening service. And I guess actually if you'd had a conversation with me back in the days when I was growing up here, I would have been amazed at some of the choices I might have found myself making and being invited to make. And certainly if somebody had suggested to me that I'd become a moderator of General Assembly at some point, I would probably have spent most of the time laughing. I certainly never had any serious expectation of that. You had your process of people talking about what talents they've got, etc. I was very fortunate when I was nominated to become a moderator of assembly, and Claire, my colleague, we didn't have to make any speeches. But this year they did. So we had two candidates telling Assembly what it was they might be bringing to General Assembly as their talents. Strange experience, I suspect. It's certainly something I would not have imagined. I was rather surprised when I was nominated, let alone elected. And I guess that's true for many of us, that when we get invited to do things for the church, we may well be surprised, and we may well feel quite inadequate. I felt like something of an imposter for a couple of years. And yet when I look back on the various things that I found myself doing, it's interesting what the good Lord invites you to do. Choices are one of those things that are central to our lives. We make constant choices. Most of them are semi-conscious. But you made choices this morning. You decided to get up. You decided to join worship. You decide what you wear, etc., etc. We have choices about how we act. And it's been interesting watching this week with the COP discussions, realizing just how many really important choices people are being invited to make, and how important actually that some of those choices are going to be. And we have choices in relation to those COP discussions, just whether to speak, whether to give, how to respond, whether to stay silent, or whether to challenge. And that's a very important part of our Christian lives, is those choices we make about what to do, how to respond, how to active in God's name, how to speak out in God's name. And of course, children. I grew up in this church, and I am very conscious of how this church helped to instill in me my Christian values, and how those have carried on forward. Yes, I moved on to a different church or different churches, but those choices became there, became evident. And it's really quite strange how over time you look back and you think, wow, oh yes, didn't realize I would be asked. And the thought of, I can remember the time when I made an initial choice to become a junior church leader. But it probably wasn't a conscious choice. It certainly wasn't conscious in the same way when I found myself choosing to take up leadership in other churches. Junior church leader, youth work leader, becoming an elder. And the thought of becoming an elder initially was quite a surprise, because I didn't see myself in those ways. And then I found myself being invited to work within the synod, and I became synod clerk. It's the nearest thing to a swear word I am allowed to use, isn't it? I think it's but becoming a synod clerk was very strange. I mean, my first response was, I don't do clerking. I didn't see myself in those roles, and yet I served for about 10 years as a synod clerk and found myself getting very involved in some quite complicated things, like, do I dare admit, the closing down of the areas, or the, because we simplified the whole structure of the URC. I didn't see myself as qualified to do that, but interesting. And you do find yourself getting involved in quite complicated, hard choices, risky choices, dangerous choices on occasion. There have been occasions where I've got pulled into things like disciplinary activities. And your brain is saying, God, what are you doing to me? What are you asking? Am I really qualified to do this? And yet the reality is, all of us are capable of taking on roles for God. Much of our Bible, when you reflect on it, is guidance about making choices. And yeah, making decisions on occasion. And you look at some of the stories in the Bible, they really do take you into some very interesting places. And of course, you also see people, stories of people who made good choices and people who made some pretty awful choices. And yet, they were led by God and enabled by God. And you think about the number of times when in one of the stories, Moses would be a good example, arguing with God. That's not me, God. I can't do that. I'm not capable of that. And yet God enabled them. And many, many of those people we sort of see, including the disciples, God enabling them to serve, to be, to do, and to be far, far more capable than they might ever have thought. And of course, sometimes we see them making good, sometimes bad, sometimes we see the consequences that they might wish they hadn't seen. People choosing to love others, being invited to choose to love. Our Bible passages today, we've got people being invited to love, to serve, to do things they might well think they can't. And sometimes they're asked to do things they really don't believe they can. This week, a lot of what's been being talked about with COP discussions is a very real challenge to us about choosing to care, choosing to probably give up things that we really want to hang on to, but we know that what is right, we are being called to do, to reach out, to speak out. And we know that some of those choices are going to be really difficult in the wider world. They will be chaired, and some of those choices we're being asked to make, we will be challenged. We'll be accused of being too generous, and it'll cost us personally, because the world is becoming a very difficult place to live. I am quite clear that this world is becoming a difficult, dangerous place, and it is not a place that God is liking seeing what is happening. And God is speaking to us and saying, come on, speak out, act, sort these things out. This is not the world I made. This is not the world I want. And therefore we are indeed being called to be a community that can be seen to be living out Christian principles. We will be choosing to act, and that may well be costing us in terms of the way we live our lives, and us having to speak out to others about the same. So, yes, we are faced with choices. We live a life of choices. But that is what God is calling us to be and to do. To make choices that we know God wants, even though they may cost us. I leave you to reflect on what God is calling you to be here in Kingston, perhaps to do in the wider world, to speak out, serve, to challenge, whether that be our politicians, whether it be our community workers, whether it be our wider world. So may God bless you in your work, and may God bless the wider church, the URC, but also all the denominations who seek to serve and to work and to bring his word, that all may hear the good news and all may come to share that good news. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. I'm looking at my service sheet and I realise that I have left out a song. Sorry about that. I did say my head is a little bit like mashed potato this morning. So before Jean comes and leads us in our intercessions, we're going to sing, O Lord, All the World Belongs to You. And I don't think, we haven't got the words on screen, so it's on page 90, it's number 90 in the hymn book. Number 90. Peter and Joe, you've got, there's a hymn book just there, yeah. So can we make sure that everyone's got a hymn book? Apologies to the people at home. And also, obviously, we haven't got people like So Young around, so apologies that we haven't got everything translated into Korean as well this morning. As Leslie would say, God is in the house. So let's give him some praise now, and we'll sing, O Lord, All the World Belongs to You, and then we'll have our intercessions and communion.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Jean will lead us in a time of prayer. Thank you, Jean.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you today in confidence, for this world in which we live is your world. And we bring our concerns before you, knowing that you are waiting to hear us. God of awe and wonder, yours is the earth, and we have spoiled and polluted it. We have wasted your wonderful gifts out of greed and ignorance, and we ask your forgiveness for what we have done. Riches possess us while others go hungry. We mismanage creation with our pollution and greed to obtain more than we already have. Father, we pray that the decisions made during COP26 won't be empty words. We ask that those in positions of power will be held accountable to the targets that have been set, and that they will work with conviction to not only achieve these, but go beyond them. We ask that the momentum is not lost after the talks have finished. We pray for a rebuilding of our world along lines of care for the weaker in society, justice and integrity, a flourishing of a new and better way, to care for others as deeply as we care for ourselves. We pray for the many who do not have enough food to eat or shelter to keep warm, enough employment or money to pay their bills, enough medicine or medical care. When sections of our society do not see the gravity of racial injustice, we pray for wisdom and strength for those who try to find a lasting way forward. Heavenly Father, we ask you to stir our hearts into action. Inspire us with ways we can make a difference in our homes and in our communities. We pray for your prompting where we can do more to love our neighbor. Giving God, we receive so much from you and therefore have much to give. Teach us the joy of giving freely as well as the happiness of receiving, that your love may be more widely shared. We pray for those in our family and among our friends who are in need of a special prayer today. We name them before you now in the quietness. Life itself is full of change and can be very difficult. Gracious God, help us to go through change with patience and dignity. And Lord, finally we pray for all churches, that they may be places of generosity where people work and flourish together. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing "Christian People, Raise Your Song," and then we'll have our offertory time together. So please stand.
Thank you.
going to take our offering now, and as we do so, I want us to just reflect a little bit about what Peter was saying about costliness of giving. And as we give our money, just think about this week, what can I give that's going to be costly? And I'm not talking about money at this point, I'm talking about giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our smiles, our greetings, whatever it is. As you give your money, give to God something else as well. So just think very practically what that might be. And let this moment of offering be a real offering of worship of all that we are, not just what we have, but all that we are to God. So, generous and abundant God, thank you. We give back to you a little of what you have given to us. We give you our money, we give you our time, we give you our talents, we give you our personalities, all that we are, all that we think and say and do as a praise offering to you. Lord God, receive our gifts and use them to your glory. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us join in prayer. God dwells with all people. God will make a home with them. We shall be the people of God, and God will be with us. This is the Lord's table, and everyone is welcome here. The wine is non-alcoholic, and there is a gluten-free alternative for the bread. When the stewards bring you the bread, please eat it. And when they bring you the wine, please hold it so that we may all drink together. Blessed are you, Lord God of creation, for the bread of the earth, for food and shelter, for human toil and skill, for Christ, the bread of life. Blessed be God forever. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for the fruit of the vine, for the joy and gladness of this life, for human care and love, for the gift of Christ our Lord and his sacrifice for us. Blessed be God forever. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We remember his death. We live by his presence. Come, Lord Jesus. The bread which we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Christ is the bread of life. The cup we take, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Christ is the true vine.
the blood of Christ. Amen. We praise you, O God, for the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, which you give for the life of the world. With this food for our journey, bring us with all your people to the feast of your glory. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look on us with kindness and give you peace. Amen.
Our final hymn for this morning is Now Thank We All Our God. So if you're able to, please stand. I'm going to make use of some of these words for our final blessing. May we be open to God's instruction this week. May he release us from despair and hunger of heart. May he help us to make good choices. May we be trustful and full of hope and compassion for those around us. And may God's abundance be our full provision as we walk out of these doors into the world, into our local community, into our homes. Bless us, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.